I see sun-kissed faces left over from softball weekend. Everyone was out. There was sun. The sun existed, and you received the gift, so good job. I missed the weekend, my heart. Not really. I was down in Butte, America for a ordination. And every time I drive down, it's such a beautiful drive, actually, especially in the springtime. But I'm reminded of this sign, and they still have the big sign up. It's changed its message, but it's always by some, I don't know what type of Christian group. One of those really aggressive, like, we think we'll convert you by putting a big sign on the highway groups, okay? And their old one, which no longer exists, was this. Do you know where you're going? Heaven or hell? And every time I drove by, I was like, I'm going to Butte. And then I thought more about that, and I was like, oh dear. I'm just kidding. I love Butte. I love Butte. I love Butte. We have a brother in Christ who is from Montana Tech with us tonight, so it's good to have you with us. Everyone's looking at him now like, ooh. No, it's good. There's good people there. All right, so the reason I was down there was this. A man, through the grace of the Sacrament of Orders, was made a transitional deacon, ordination. And I want to talk to you about that. So if you've never been to an ordination, it is both a joyful event and it's a very serious one at the same time. Those two things together at the same time. It's joyful because it's a celebration of the church. A man, his soul, just like a soul is changed in baptism, in ordination, a soul is configured to Christ the high priest in a new way. And so we have a new servant at the altar, Deacon Nathan Scheidecker. And he's commissioned to serve at the altar, and he's also commissioned to be a herald of the gospel, to proclaim the gospel and to preach. And so that is a joyful thing. It is also a very serious thing. Two things that really strike me at every ordination liturgy. The man lays down his life. He prostrates before the altar. And he also places his hands in the hands of his bishop, who receives them, who grabs onto those hands. So he prostrates himself. He lays down on the floor while the community around sings the litany of the saints. So all the saints praying for this man, and then the body of believers also interceding for this man, that he would make a serious, joyful, but also serious move to commit his life to the Lord in a radical way. And then after that, he comes forward and he kneels before the bishop, and he places his hands within the hands of the bishop. The bishop wraps his hands around his, and the man promises respect and obedience to his bishop and whoever will be the bishop after. It is a beautiful thing to watch. It is a beautiful gift. The thing about it is this. So Deacon Ned, Nathan is his real name, but everyone calls him Ned. So Deacon Ned, I've known for years and years. He graduated from Carroll in 2011. But I've known him for a lot longer than that, because as I've served up at Legendary Lodge as the chaplain up there, I knew Ned when he was a little high schooler. And then he came to Carroll as a freshman. And he lived in Guad, and he lived in Charlie's, and then he worked as a peer minister. And then he graduated. And then he came and worked for us in campus ministry as an intern. And then he went to seminary. And this is his now sixth year in seminary. So I've had the privilege of watching him go from literally a child a young kid, super immature, super goofy, still kind of is, right? But I've watched him grow into a man, and especially a man of faith. And what Ned did yesterday is what a man does. He committed his life to something and someone bigger than him. Now, ladies, that's what real women do too. But gentlemen, listen up. You are meant to commit your life to something and someone bigger than yourself. Being male is a given. Becoming a man is not. And it is only in that willingness to commit, to give your life to something or someone that is bigger than yourself, that you will become a real man. So don't play the game of pushing that off down the road. Start the hard work now, because that work needs to be done. Now, Ned gave his life to the Lord. There's something in that move for every one of us here tonight, male or female, married or not married, discerning your vocation or years and years into your vocation. That move is something that we have to be about. But I want to say this, especially to young people, all you college students here, I want you to hear it loud and clear. You are made for commitment. You are made for commitment. Your heart will never be satisfied, not even close to satisfied, until you give it away as a gift in a lasting commitment that both claims it and sets it free. Claims it and sets it free. Every single one of you here is made for that type of commitment. Do not subscribe for a second to the idiotic philosophy that is dominant in this culture that says, keep your options open. Keep your options open all the time, as long as you want. Keep your options open. Because you will never, never in a million years find satisfaction in that way of living. That comes from a culture that is afraid, and especially afraid of responsibility. And so Jesus and his church speak so clearly against that way of being. St. John Paul II, in 1979, when he was in Boston, said this: faced with problems and disappointments, many people will try to escape from their responsibility. Escape in selfishness, escape in sexual pleasure, escape in drugs, escape in violence, escape in indifference, escape in cynical attitudes. But today I propose to you the option of love, which is the opposite of escape. Love, the opposite of escape. He said that in 1979. What do you think it's like in 2018? You know, and I know, people run away from things that would claim their hearts. And in so doing, all they escape is the joy of living life. Do you really think Fortnite is going to satisfy your heart? How many hours are wasted on this campus? Even today, probably right now at this very minute. But all these things are ready for us to run to escape. But I propose with St. John Paul II, and with, more importantly, Jesus Christ, there's another option. And that's the option of love, which is the opposite of escape. Jesus gives you that option. Jesus, he doesn't just give you that option, he makes that option possible. Because he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He's not a hired hand. He will not run when things get tough in your life. He will stay. He will be with you. He is solid as a rock. And he wants you to know that you are made for those types of commitments that he makes possible. Jesus is the one who opens it up for you. He makes it possible. If you're like, I can't commit, I'm afraid, I don't know if I can measure up, you come to the Lord. You ask him to render you capable of giving your life away as a gift. You give it first and foremost to him. And then he leads you, as the good shepherd leads his sheep, he leads you into the vocation that will satisfy the deepest longings of your heart. That is for you tonight. There is another option. You do not have to live your life in some type of escapism. Live your life for love. Take up the responsibilities. Embrace those, hard as they are. For us to live in that love, which is to live in freedom and to live in joy, we have to grow up. We have to grow up. No fear of adulting in here. Get over that. You are young adults. It's time for you to grow up. We hear in the second reading tonight, St. John says, beloved, we are God's children right now. And we are. And you need to know that. You are a child of God, a son or a daughter of the Heavenly Father who loves you, who loved you into existence, who loves you right now. But listen, there is a massive difference between being childlike and being childish. We are called to be childlike, to live in that relationship with our Heavenly Father. We are not called to be childish. And childish looks like this: my way, my plan. I'll get to God later. I want to have my fun right now. I want to keep my options open so I can do what I want with my life. That's a recipe for being childish. And St. Paul speaks about that. He says, one season I was a child. I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But then I became a man, and I put aside childish ways. You know, that's the finish of the great hymn of love, 1 Corinthians 13. Notice how very few people include that when they put that reading in their wedding. And I'm like, you're stopping right before the best part. Because love challenges us to grow up. This way of love challenges us. But it's such a good challenge because you're made for that. You don't want to be childish forever. No, you're made to be strong men and women. Strong men and women who stand for something. Strong men and women who live for something. Strong men and women who lay down their lives for something. And that's the challenge for you and me and all of us tonight. Will we lay down our lives? When we do that, if we do that, there is a power that enters into us that you could never have on your own. You could never manufacture it. You could never make it up. The power is the power of Jesus Christ himself. Because he is the good shepherd who did lay down his life for us. He gave his life on the cross, and he gives his life to us in the Eucharist. And so he wants that way of being, that is his way of being, to become the pattern of our own lives. The challenge is this: will we lay down our lives? Will we say yes to that? It is risky. Absolutely, 100%. I am not offering you a safe path through life. What I am offering you is the path of love, which is a great path for life. What do you want? What do you want? Do you want to escape? Or do you want the path of love, which is the opposite of escape? I think I know when I look at you. I think I know what you want. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want the deepest and best things of life, which are always about giving yourself away in love, trusting yourself to God, trusting yourself to someone else, living your life as a gift, serving Him and serving His people. Do not be afraid to go for that. Do not be afraid to lay down your life. Now back to Deacon Ned. On Saturday, he laid down his life, and he put his hands in the hands of another. Do you know how joyful he is today? Do you know how powerfully he preached his first Mass today at his home parish in Butte, Montana? And I just thought, this is it. You all need to know that this is the way to live. Commit your life to the Lord. Trust in Him. He will act. Commit your life. Don't be afraid to commit to Jesus Christ. He wants to love you. He does already. But this is the thing about Ned. He made that commitment yesterday, and it was a big and joyful and generous yes to Jesus Christ. He was prepared for that yes through so many other yeses, so many small yeses, when he was in high school, and then especially when he was here in college. Yeses, I will choose to go and pray. I will choose to go to Mass. I will choose to get to know the person down the hall. I will choose to engage in a relationship of faith with someone else, to talk with them, to speak about Jesus. I will choose to listen. I will choose to learn about my faith, about my Lord. He said all sorts of yeses that prepared him for that great yes yesterday. You too. You said yes tonight. I don't ever want to underestimate or underappreciate how important that yes is. It is a great thing. That yes puts you on a path. Keep walking it. Because whatever your vocation, the person who one day will walk down this aisle, if not here in another church, to make a lasting commitment, whether to the Lord or to another person, that person is being formed right now. So your yes matters. Make it a joyful yes, a humble yes, an amazing yes. Lay your life open wide to Jesus Christ. And then, my friends, just watch where the Good Shepherd will lead you.